Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A couple more from David Culley here on the injury front. The update on Marcus Cannon, right tackle, went to injured reserve because of a back issue. Now Charlie Heck is your starting right tackle. Here's Culley on Cannon.
I hope he does, but it's a serious thing that he's got. He is a tough guy, and basically he probably could have played this week. But in order to keep him for the long haul and to make sure we get him through the season, if whatever we needed to do to get him right, we needed to do it now. And placing him on IR was the right thing to do for him in order to get him back later.
Okay, now this is another one of those deals. It's evolved into this, Seth, because now Cannon is hurt. Cannon is a guy who didn't play football last year because of COVID. He's a guy who's been banged up. He's a cancer survivor, too. Marcus Cannon's a warrior. Like him, if he was playing through a back injury, good on him. But just as far as the acquisition of Cannon himself, this is another one of those deals where Nick Caserio kind of, you know, compromised some day three capital to bring Marcus Cannon in, a guy he's familiar with, a guy who, when he's healthy, is a solid enough player. Little expensive, but a solid enough player. The deal was they kind of flip-flop spots with the Patriots in a couple of later rounds in the draft. So it's one of those things where the Texans are giving up some day three stuff for a bit of a lotto ticket. And then it hasn't worked out. And there have been several deals like that. That's one of the things I should mention here. Nick Caserio is going to join us at 7:30 on the show tomorrow. That is one of the things I want to ask him about is all these deals that you've made involving day three draft picks. How do you view day three draft picks as a currency? Because by and large, these deals have not, they've not worked out. You know, Ryan Finley was with the team for 2 months, never saw the field. Anthony Miller played two games. He's gone. You know, Marcus Cannon's hurt now. Ryan Izzo, seventh round pick. I mean, none of them are picks that change the shape of your franchise, but collectively, it's an approach that has yet to yield anything. I want to get his prism on that.
You know what I mean? I'm guessing that his answer is going to be this, that you're, or something like this. Look, a sixth or a seventh round pick as a rookie has a really, really low chance of actually becoming a productive NFL player. Mm-hmm. So you're using it as a way just to buy a lottery ticket on somebody and hoping it pays off. And I think that's how he views these veteran players too. They're like little scratch off tickets, and you use it on a sixth or a seventh round pick to get a scratch off. Maybe it works out, maybe it doesn't. But easy come, easy go. Like if 5%, 10% hit rate. I think Cannon has worked out as a player. I think the big thing there too is so Cannon's probably been, well, Laremy Tunsil's been your steadiest and best player. Cannon maybe your second best steady or offensive line.
Yeah.
Cannon's your second best and most steady offensive lineman, perhaps. The gamble there is, okay, we're not so sure about Charlie Hecker if he's going to be ready. And you don't want to put him out there and just get absolutely destroyed for an entire season. But we think that we have Charlie Heck could be a good right tackle. Let's ease him into it, and then we'll just shuffle Titus Howard over around a left guard, and then boom, you've got three guys locked down for a long time on your team, potentially, as long as you take care of Titus Howard over the next couple of years. And I think that's the thing that's still a work in progress.
Have you rewatched Charlie Heck yet from that game?
Not yet. I'm thinking about the NFL Game Pass is really, really bad this year.
It's very wonky, yes.
It's a mess, but a lot of people are reporting that if you use a VPN and pretend that you're watching from Europe or something, then it's a better version.
No kidding.
The foreign version is better than the American
that
version.
That is a life hack.
Thanks
right there.
A lot, NFL. Wow. Yeah. It's a life hack, except the last couple times I've done the VPN thing, I've ended up, maybe this is just random coincidence, but I've ended up with fraud on my credit card like within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
So I'm really skeptical of it. Like, I mean, it feels shady, Sean, these VPNs.
Yeah.
You're like, it feels very Skull and Dagger. And I don't, maybe I've just had a bad luck, but I don't know.
Okay. Last one here from Cully.
So that's my answer. No, I've watched. I've not watched Charlie Heck on the All-22 yet. Heck. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. An update on Danny Amendola.
We hope so. He was close this week, but by Friday, we felt like he needed to get another week to be able to get ready for us.
Okay, you know, and that'll be another one I'm kind of curious about when we talk to Nick tomorrow is, you know, just the sequencing of the slot receiver decisions. You know, to let Anthony Miller go, you know, David Culley saying, well, there's only so much room for slot receivers on this team, and then you go into Saturday, or Sunday, I should say, this week, with no slot receivers because Danny Amendola and his 36-year-old thigh injury is not ready to play.
Yeah, I'm kind of throwing that into the category of, all right, Culley had to say something, and I don't think they actually look, they obviously don't care about how many numbers they have at specific positions.
True.
They have 5 running backs on the roster. I mean, it's absurd. It's crazy how many running backs they have on this football team. And it's not even like it's part of some kind of, I don't think their plan moving forward over the next 4 years is to always have 5 running backs on the roster. Maybe it is. I think it's just that they're gonna try to shuffle around and find like an X number of talent. If you have a slot receiver a classic slot receiver available on that day, then so be it. But they're not going to make their decisions in this season by that.
Chris Moore lined up in the slot plenty on Sunday from what I was watching. He lined up in at least a few times I saw him. He did just fine. You know, he was good.
Yeah, you know, he was
5 catches, a buck 09.
Yeah, which I think that give Culley credit for gamesmanship in that if he had gone out there and said, well, actually, we got rid of Anthony Miller because we really like Chris Moore in the slot.
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted him to say. You rightfully laughed at me for that.
Well, I think the problem is that now you've set the bar so low that just you in general, people in general, have set the bar so low for Culley in some of the press conference stuff that you forget that, oh, yeah, there might actually be some gamesmanship to some of this stuff.
Yeah. We were talking about the trade deadline a few minutes ago. One of the social media warriors for the Texans, Seth, you remember we power ranked our most emo Texans on social media? One of them teased a possible big move. You tell me, I'm going to read this tweet in the next segment, and you tell me, what could this particular Texan be teasing? I'm assuming the tweet is still up. These guys delete these tweets sometimes. That's next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Okay, so Texans on social media, we speculated yesterday that maybe Charles Omenihu getting a little emo on Twitter on Friday was at least in part the reason he was inactive in the game on Sunday. Who knows? Lonnie Johnson might be at the top of the emo on social media power rankings for Houston Texans, Seth. I would say he's on the Mount Rushmore of social media, kind of responding and getting emotional on social media. He tweeted this yesterday, let's say 18 hours ago, so this is about 4 in the afternoon yesterday, thereabouts. He tweeted, bleep crazy. S-word crazy, except he typed the word. And someone replies, says, someone says, I don't understand this move either. And then another Twitter person replies, what happened? And then person number one says, they moved wide receiver Chris Moore back to the practice squad, even though he had a monster game yesterday. I trust this is what Lonnie's talking about. Lonnie replies to all these Twitter people, it's not, but soon enough you will know.
Oh no.
Yeah, the drama, the suspense, all that. That's a I don't think this is being grumpy old man about it or anything, because you have to remember the vast majority of players Lonnie Johnson's age are not tweeting stuff like this. Like, they're not, the vast majority of players on a football team, all the Gen Zers, are not doing cryptic tweets, especially like young, unproven, still kind of questionable as to whether they're the final answer at their position. They're definitely not doing stuff like that. Like, Lonnie Johnson almost, he's tweeting like he's Aaron Rodgers or something. Yes. And by the way, when Aaron Rodgers does it, it's annoying as hell. And when Deshaun Watson does it, it's annoying as hell. It's a few select players. So this is not a grumpy old man take. This is a, hey, how come you're the one Gen Zer out of hundreds, you know, on average, that's like tweeting this cryptic stuff about your team?
Yeah, and like, it's not, but soon enough you will know. Like, oh, great tease. Like, you'd be an awesome radio host. Here's the thing.
It actually is. It's got me. I'm going to follow.
No, I'm very curious. Look, he's made me curious. But here's the thing. This is where I'm coming from on this. I want Lonnie Johnson to work out for this team. I want the second round pick of Lonnie Johnson from 2019 to be one of the small handful of young players this team has drafted in the last 4 years to actually stick around and do some things for this team. And I'll say this, Lonnie Johnson has not been great this year, but he's improved. And he's not been put in a great spot overall in his career here because he's drafted as a big corner.
Yeah.
He gets moved to safety last year in a year where if you're making a position shift with last year's offseason, you're already kind of operating behind the eight ball because of all the restrictions with COVID and the practice restrictions and everything else. So I'm sympathetic to Lonnie Johnson from that standpoint. And I like that Lonnie Johnson has gotten on the field for this team. I think sometimes on Sunday they were using him a little bit strangely. Dude gets a pick, and then the next series, Terrence Brooks is out there instead of Lonnie Johnson. Like, you've been successful enough today, Lonnie. Have a seat. Terrence Brooks, you're in. Okay. But I am saying this and pointing out this Twitter tripe from Lonnie Johnson as kind of, I think, where you're coming from, Seth, maybe as advice to him to say, just stop doing this stuff, because I think it's very clear this regime is not a fan of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I want Lonnie Johnson to work out as a player, and I want him to stick around. He's been on the field more, and he's been okay this year. I mean, there's still some things he does that are befuddling, but he's made some plays which Eric Murray has never done in his entire time. Like, at least Lonnie Johnson, is Lonnie Johnson lining up way too deep at times in this zone and allowing these big 25-yard cushions? Sure. Is he getting beat? Is he making poor decisions at times out there? You know, like, is he you know, going the wrong way on certain help coverages and things like that? Perhaps. But I know he's got a couple of interceptions, and Eric Murray hasn't had any of those so far in his career.
Well, and plus his alignment, I mean, sometimes this is what it's always hard with defensive backs. How much of it is by design? How much of it is errant? You just never know.
Fair enough.
Well, often, like, when a guy, how often is a guy, sometimes the guy you're blaming is only even in the frame because he's covering for somebody else who screwed up. But you're right. He has work to do in terms of being a complete NFL safety, obviously. I guess the question is, with Lonnie Johnson, before this, it's usually been mostly individual type stuff, right? Where he's either sticking up for himself or defending himself on social media or something.
Retweeting workout videos.
This would be, wait a second. Is this even actually about the Texans, Sean?
Okay.
This might be about something completely different.
Could be. Let's see.
It's got to be the worst thing in the world, though, for kids, as much as I'm young and with it and all that stuff, guys like David Culley and Nick Kasarian, all those guys got to just hate when somebody has to bring this to their attention.
Right.
Like when one of the Texans PR staff or something has to say, like, oh gosh, all right, I gotta just let Nick Kasarian tell. I gotta tell him that Lonnie might have tweeted something cryptic. I don't even know what it's about. I don't, like, what move is this?
Yeah, it's just one more thing to
tell
manage.
Him? Yeah.
It's just one more thing. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in on the show. Let's go to Ron once in on this. Ron, you are up on Payne and Pendergast. What's going on?
Good morning, Sean and Seth. How you doing, guys?
Not bad, Ron.
Hey, good. Hey, love seeing you guys out there in the pregame show. Always stop by to say hi.
Thank you.
Love what you guys do. Man, when I left the game on Sunday, I'm just curious. You know, Lonnie Johnson coming out like this, he was, to me, the weakest, one of the weaker links in the game. I know he had an INT, but that first touchdown that the Patriots scored, he didn't even get behind his pads. You know, he got bowled into that end zone.
Yep.
You know, and I'm like, dude, you got a chance of, you know, and granted, back in my day, you know, you got free your safety. You got a chance to blow somebody up. You blow them up. You know, so I just, and then again, Seth, I love your comment on, because it's what I saw all day from the end zone view. They hit the middle of that zone. I mean, that's how they killed us. Every pass play, whether it was a left post, right post, whatever middle, they sat right in that zone and just picked us apart. So, you know, look, I want this team to do better, man. I think all Houstonians do. But, man, you got to go out there and leave it on the field. And when it comes chance to blow somebody up on the goal line, you step into the pads. You don't sit back and take the hit. So I'll hang up and listen to you guys chat.
Right, thanks.
Have a great day, guys.
And I think some of that is, you know, it's not like Lonnie Johnson's afraid of contact. On that specific play where Lonnie Johnson would have had the force and that was his play to make.
Ask Jace Sternberger.
Yeah. It's a matter of just knowing the position and making those reads. And that's where I cut him some slack, because it's going to take some time. It's hard to, I think safety is one of those positions that in the NFL right now is undervalued. They don't seem to, although they've started giving out some big contracts.
Yeah.
But the problem with safety is there are a bunch of guys who are just safeties, but if you're a really good safety, it makes a big difference. You look at the Ravens last night, and I'm blanking on the guy's name, Clark. They can do a whole lot of different stuff with that defense because they've got a really smart, versatile, like a genuinely versatile safety back there. Lonnie's definitely not there yet. He's willing to come up and make that hit in the run game. He's just not identifying things quickly enough. So that could change. As far as the soft spot in the middle of the defense, which is, that's an inherent weakness in cover two. If you run cover two, if you don't have the guys that can run cover two. So the Texans run a much larger percentage of cover two on their defense than any other team in the league right now. In some ways, and I won't get too technical here, basically the old way of doing things for Lovie Smith was a Tampa 2, which is really old school and it's really hard to pull off in the modern NFL. The Texans actually don't run much Tampa 2. So Lovie Smith has advanced some ways. Like compared to the rest of the league, they actually do comparatively less Tampa 2. But he's still running a whole lot of zone defense. Cover 2, cover 3, and a lot of zones. They need better pass rushers. Like the biggest problem on Sunday really is, yes, the linebackers need to be better in coverage. Yes, the safeties need to identify better. But you had a Patriots offense that was starting four backup offensive linemen, and you really didn't get adequate pressure on Mac Jones.
You
right?
wouldn't have known.
It was, they got there eventually. There wasn't a whole lot of quick pressure. Like, nope. Holy crap, he came careening off the edge, and Mac Jones was screwed. It was a lot of late developing pressure. So that stuff, I mean, all three levels of the defense right now, you don't have as much natural talent as there should be to really run that defense well. And then, yeah, Lonnie Johnson, when he's back in cover three as the deep center field safety, he's got to be smarter and better at recognizing things. He plays like a young safety. But I'm with Sean. I want him to work out. I want him to develop into something. It'd be really nice to have Lonnie Johnson and Justin Reed for a few years.
Yeah.
It's just that when he starts like tweeting cryptic stuff about the team, you wonder, okay, is he long for this life? Is he going to
be long
for this Texans life? Yeah, is he right? Yeah, is he going to get traded? Because
some guys are given the blueprint to get up and out.
Yeah, and that's a dangerous spot that the Texans are in right now. Is, all right, if you create a template where, hey, if you speak up, we'll just trade you and get you out of here. You create an environment where it snowballs, and all of a sudden everybody's like acting a fool because they want to get out, or a lot of guys are, at least.
All right, let's go around the NFL. A lot of you are texting in, hey, have you guys talked about John Gruden yet? We're going to go around the NFL. Are head coaching, I guess, foibles, issues affecting a couple of teams, the Watson sweepstakes teams, and then one king crumbles and a new one rises? We're going to go around the weekend in the NFL next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610. And let's do this. Let's go around the league. 713-572-4610. We'll work some of you in as well. Reminder, In the Loop and Clint Sterner in the show are both at Kirby Ice House today. 10 to 6, we'll be out there. I believe the doors open at noon, 1 o'clock. Obviously, we're out there for Astros Game 4 to watch Lance McCullers close this baby out and send the Astros to the ALCS for the fifth time in 5 years. They would be facing the Boston Red Sox in the ALCS this year. A rematch of the 2018 ALCS. All right, let's go around the league in a few different categories here, Seth. We get to... You and I don't get to do this much on Mondays because of the short show. So on Tuesdays, we got the full five lanes of highway here.
Man is stepping on us on Mondays.
A little bit.
Trying to repress us.
A little bit.
Screw that.
That's right. You can't keep us down forever.
That's right.
So let's start with this category in going around the league. Coaching saboteurs. A couple results this weekend around the NFL that I think the state of the head coach may have had something to do with it. Let's start in Jacksonville with the Tennessee Titans, who went to Jacksonville as a 4-point favorite, and they smoked the Jacksonville Jaguars 38-19, I believe, the final score.
Yeah, I was way off on this one.
Yeah, that's okay. Derrick Henry had a monster day.
Henry on the left side to the 5, Henry to the goal line. Touchdown, Titans! The Yulee Bulldozer! Now 29 carries for 130 yards, and count them, 1, 2, 3 scores!
And that's what he would finish with, 130 yards, 3 scores. That was a Derrick Henry kind of day. Seth, where is this thing going with the Jacksonville Jaguars now with Urban Meyer? Like, is this – he's off to an 0-5 start. The history of coaches starting off 0-5 since 2000 is not good. There's a few names that have gone on to succeed, but by and large, it's not finished well. And this is one that comes with a whole lot of extra drama than just normal on-the-field football failure.
Honestly, given all of the Gruden stuff over the past few days, I kind of forgot what Urban Meyer was even in trouble for. Because because he wasn't – Urban Meyer wasn't technically in trouble with anybody other than his wife. But he made an egregious error in judgment in just not coming back with the team after the Thursday night game. And then, you know, that from a football standpoint was the biggest issue. Is the guy looks like he's out to lunch already, and he's only been on the job for less than a year.
Right.
I guess the question if you get past all this other stuff, like let's say the locker room is cool with Urban Meyer or what have you, Shad Khan, the owner, is okay with him. I guess you have to look at Trevor Lawrence and what he's doing and how is he developing. And I think that he's steadily shown more of his really good flashes within games. He's still making a lot of mistakes, like turnover-worthy plays and whatnot, I think. The question just becomes, okay, after you get to the end of year one, does it look like Trevor Lawrence might have been better off with somebody else?
Yeah.
And I think that Shad Khan might think, yes, he would be. Can we get an actual NFL coach in here?
All right, the other game.
Somebody like Bill O'Brien. Hire Bill O'Brien.
Yes, please, please, please. The other game that I would put in the coaching saboteur bucket, John Gruden, coaching what would wind up being his last game as the coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. He resigned last night from his job on the heels of the reveal of several emails that fell into every deplorable category you could have. Misogyny, racist emails, homophobic emails, all kinds of things. This is all stuff that came out last week before the game against the Bears. It may have had a serious, profound effect on the Raiders on Sunday, though.
Play fake. Fields rolling to his right. Hit as he delivers into the end zone. Touchdown! Jesper Horsted! Touchdown, Bears!
Okay, this just goes to show you, Seth, how quickly things can change and how ridiculous the hyperbole is sometimes. Remember 2 weeks ago when one of the topics on TV after Justin Fields' first start where Matt Nagy came up with a horrible game plan for him. We all know that. Dan Orlovsky is calling for Matt Nagy's head on Get Up. The question on First Take was, should Justin Fields try to force his way out of Chicago? This is week three. Should the rookie quarterback who's done nothing in the league try to force his way out of Chicago? 2 weeks later, Chicago is 3-2. Justin Fields has put together a couple weeks where he's been able to go win games. I think the big story in this one, Seth, is on the other side, though. The Raiders are one of a handful of teams that started the season 3-0. They're now 3-2, and I don't know what's worse. If Gruden were still around and you're having to play for a coach who maybe some of the guys in the locker room no longer respect, or now you're playing for an interim coach moving forward. Ross Tucker was on with us earlier, and he said the season's probably torpedoed for the Raiders.
It's
hard. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, whenever you get this little interim coach boost or what have you. Remember Dan Campbell.
In Miami.
With the Miami, when the Texans caught the brunt of that because they did have kind of a surge. You can have a circle the wagon type of moment perhaps sometimes, but then you end up with just, you know, frankly, people that are in the wrong positions and unprepared for their jobs and a head coach that probably wasn't the guy that should be a head coach. It's not like you're ever saying, oh, look, it looks like the perfect guy was waiting there all the time.
Yeah.
The interim coach, he wasn't the head coach for a reason. So, yeah, I would say that's probably it for the Raiders.
Yeah, I would say so, too. A lot of people asking us about Gruden. Some people are saying Lonnie Johnson's tweet we were talking about in the previous segment where Lonnie was sort of teasing something might have been about Gruden. Lonnie said bleep crazy.
Yeah.
And people were guessing with Lonnie what it could be about, and he said, no, it's none of that stuff, but you'll find out. You know, I'm paraphrasing. You'll find out what it is soon enough.
See, I feel I'm glad I said what I said, which was like, let's wait and see if this is actually about the Texans.
Yeah.
Now, should we be waiting? So it was either about Gruden or
something we don't know about.
Or something we don't know
maybe
about.
Maybe it's about Laramie
Texans,
Thumbs.
Perhaps. Yeah. What would be the craziest thing would be if Omenihu was either released or traded.
That would fall into that. You know, like Lonnie and Omenihu, same draft class.
Yeah.
Same kind of mode on social media.
There are two weird things on defense right now. One is Zach Cunningham. One is Charles Omenihu. Now, the weird thing about Zach Cunningham is that Cunningham has been benched for one quarter in a game a couple weeks ago for disciplinary reasons. He went MIA, or he was missing from practice for a day or two at the end of training camp. Something's afoot there. And he is also a guy who... you gave a contract a couple years ago. That was Bill O'Brien. That wasn't Nick Caserio. But then Nick Caserio did extend him or restructure his contract this past offseason. And now he's just a two-down linebacker.
Yeah.
He's not even one of your better linebackers on the team. Which he's been bad in coverage the whole time.
Yeah, we got to play that audio from Cully in the 9 o'clock hour.
So there's that. But then there's Charles Omenihu, who has definitely been one of your more productive defensive linemen. And it's, you know, they made him inactive supposedly because Jordan Jenkins needed more snaps. The problem with that explanation is that you keep 7 or 8 guys active on game day. And Charles Omenihu can play inside and outside. Deactivating Charles Omenihu has nothing to do with because you wanted to bring Jordan Jenkins
no,
up. So there's something afoot there.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm waiting to see the other shoe drop.
No doubt. All right, the next category here, Watson sweepstakes teams. Look, Deshaun Watson is still on this team. The Texans presumably still want to trade him. Nick Caserio, by the way, will be on with us tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning, Texans general manager. He'll be on with Seth and I. Two teams that have been mentioned in connection with Deshaun Watson at varying times throughout the last several months. Carolina may be creeping their way back into the Watson sweepstakes.
Darnold takes the snap. He steps up. He lets it fly. And it is intercepted by Nelson. Stephen Nelson picks it off. The third interception of the game. There is the two-minute warning with the score. The Eagles, 21. The Panthers, 18.
That would be the final score of that game. Eagles beat the Panthers. Panthers fall to 3-2 on the season. Meanwhile, Miami playing Tampa Bay got smoked by the GOAT.
Here's the snap, and here comes pressure. Brady throws a C-Rock, caught by Evans. He gets a block. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mickens with a block. Clean the way for Mike Evans to score his second of the day. Fire the cannons.
Are the cannons. So Brady, 5 touchdown passes. So, Seth, I don't think there's anything imminent with Deshaun Watson, but
yeah,
we got to keep an eye on teams that were and could still be, and I think Miami and Carolina are in that bucket right now.
When in Philadelphia or no? Just because, I mean, I know Deshaun reportedly didn't want to go to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's why I have Philadelphia off to the side.
Jalen Hurts threw for 5.4 yards per attempt.
That's not good.
You know, he did a workmanlike effort. He had 7 passes that went more than 10 yards downfield. They're managing Jalen Hurts very carefully.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a situation where they're thinking, oh yeah, we definitely like him better than Deshaun Watson.
If there weren't a no trade clause, Philly would be right there in the mix for me.
So that's a question. I keep them in mind because I think at some point Deshaun might soften on his stance.
He may be softening on Miami being at the top of his power rankings right now. They're 1-4. That's a bad football team right now. All right. Next category here as we go around the league, Seth and I. One king crumbles, a new one rises. Let's get to the new one first, actually, here. Arizona is the only undefeated team 5 weeks into the season. So Arizona, which as we all know is Texans West with DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt.
Their social media account has been quite active already this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a picture of DeAndre and JJ hugging each other.
They love to troll the Texans.
Can you believe they're ours? Yeah. It says like it's like a candy heart or something.
You have to tell me this. Oh my God. Here was DeAndre doing DeAndre things.
Snap to Kyler. He throws a fade left side in the end zone, and it is caught for a touchdown by D-Hop. D-Hop caught it with Josh Norman draped all over him trying to pull the ball away. Even if it's a simultaneous catch, it goes to the offense. They lift DeAndre Hopkins up in celebration after an incredible grab for a touchdown.
Yeah, that's painful right there. And that was the touchdown that clinched the game for the Cardinals. A lot of guys had 6 catches and 87 yards this weekend around the NFL or stats near that. But if you watch that game, like it was 6 catches and like 5 of them are catches that only DeAndre Hopkins can make.
You and I were at Kirby Ice House yesterday afternoon just hanging out, and we were watching a recap of this game, and we watched the Rondale Moore had an incredible toe-tapping sideline catch.
Like their fourth receiver.
And it's amazing. It's amazing how undercovered or under-discussed some things are in the NFL simply based on which team it is. In the Cardinals, the fact that Larry Fitzgerald basically had a free pass to be mediocre the last 2 years with Arizona, like it was some kind of gold watch retirement party or
something. And everybody
something.
Was cool with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay, well, he's a mediocre slot receiver. There you go.
Making probably $13 million
a
year.
And that's why Cliff Kingsbury can't utilize Larry Fitzgerald. Like, somehow it was Cliff Kingsbury's fault. Well, all of a sudden you throw in Rondale Moore and give Cliff Kingsbury some adequate weaponry, and Kyler Murray looks a whole lot different.
Yeah.
Cliff Kingsbury looks a whole lot different.
They're very good. It's a good, and the fact that they stood in and traded blows in a game like that, a 17-10 game. A lot of these games they've been involved in, Seth, have been 34-30. Games played up in these kind of pinball machine type scores. This was a defensive struggle, and they stood in. And now, granted, it was against Trey Lance, rookie quarterback, but still, that's an encouraging win if I'm an Arizona fan. 5-0 on the season. All right, last one here. This is the king that might be crumbling. The Kansas City Chiefs got destroyed at home on Sunday night by Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
Fakes the handoff, runs right along the hash down to the 5. Allen driving into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. A 9-yard touchdown run from Josh Allen, and the Bills have taken the lead. Josh Allen doing it with his legs again.
Yeah, he's amazing. Josh
Allen. Do it with
Allen
your legs, Joshy.
He's amazing. Are the Chiefs, how are we feeling about the Chiefs right now? They might not make the playoffs this year.
Look, you can win the Super Bowl with just offense. Yeah. We've seen that. It's rare, you know.
Chiefs
I don't like saying defense wins championships, but it's good to have at least a credible defense.
This is not that.
This is not that at all. Especially when you think about, okay, if they're going to have to face the Bills at some point. I mean, Josh Allen was 5 for 6 on deep passing attempts versus Kansas City.
Yeah, that's
he just
good.
Took what he wanted.
Yep.
Nick Wright, who we all know and love, who used to sit in this chair. I guess your chair more than me.
Well, yeah.
Different studio.
Symbolically my chair.
Yeah. So, but, you know, he's gone on to bigger and better things. But he is a Kansas City resident at the beginning of it all.
He's the biggest Chiefs fan I know.
He's a huge Chiefs fan. Yeah. He's talked a whole lot of smack about Josh Allen over...
Has he really?
Really the last couple of years, but I think especially leading into this week.
Oh, I'm sure that's going swimmingly for him the last couple
Nick
of days.
Was on Bills Mafia radar. He had takes like this before the game.
Let's show the audience Mahomes versus Josh Allen and see how close it is. And the answer is not close at all. Unlike last year where their numbers were similar, this year it's not a contest. But that's unfair. Mahomes is the best quarterback in football.
So we had that.
And I'm going to point this unfair thing out.
And you know, Nick was unrelenting with this. So
there's more?
Well, there was a lot more. So the game happens. Yeah. I wake up yesterday and I see all kinds of different memes. You know, memes with, you know, like poor Nick with, like, you know, various male body parts attached to his head and stuff. Like, Bills Mafia.
I've seen those.
Bills Mafia has gone absolutely insane on Nick Wright. So I think a lot of them were waiting to hear Nick Wright's comeuppance. Like, what was he going to say? Was he going to give an apology or what have you? This is what Nick Wright had to say yesterday.
And the Bills and social media team can mock me all they want. The story was not about Josh Allen being great. The story was how inexplicably and indefensibly awful the Chiefs were defensively in the first half. And then once again in the second half, the self-inflicted wounds were just indescribable.
So so now it's...
it was not Josh Allen that won the game. The Chiefs lost the game.
From what I could tell on social media, that did not placate Bills Mafia.
Are you kidding me? He might need extra security. Nick lives in the state of New York now.
Yeah. He lives downstate. That's a
still,
Jets and Giants
place. Decent proximity. Those lunatics can get on a bus and get there within the same day.
I texted Nick yesterday and he hasn't responded to me. I said he should pay Bills Mafia commission for all the free publicity, because you know that's the whole thing. It always happens with Skip Bayless or anybody else, any of the high notoriety things, is they'll have a bad take or a bad prediction and all these people act like, huh, now you've been exposed.
Yeah,
I'm going to expose you. I'm like, ah, no, they're fine.
Am I reading this Josh Allen had 15 completions for 315 yards.
Yeah,
20 yards of completion. 21 yards of completion.
Right. Is that right?
21 yards of completion. Now he had 26 attempts, but that's still... That's 12.1 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
15 completions for 315 yards. My God.
Well, and I think, look, the Bills hadn't faced the best quarterback, so you're kind of wondering what is their defense really? Which is a fair question. Yeah. So this was their first real big test versus a previously quality opponent, still one that can do a whole lot of damage. But, yeah, I think that... I mean, like, we fall prey to this every time. When Aaron Rodgers won his first Super Bowl, it seemed like the Packers would probably win at least 7 Super Bowls. Yep. Just, how are you ever going to beat that? Because remember, the Packers had 6 starters on defense out on IR that year.
Yeah.
It was, they were actually weakened. So it was just going to be a coronation year after year of Aaron Rodgers' greatness. Doesn't work that way in the NFL.
No, and I remember that. When the Chiefs won that Super Bowl, everybody's going, so how many are they going to win? Yeah. 3, 4, 5? Like, no, 2 years later, they're struggling to make the postseason, at least 5 weeks in. All right. 713-572-4610. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. We head into the 9 o'clock hour. Reminder, starting at 10 a.m. in the loop out at Kirby Ice House, 1 o'clock, 107 first pitch for the Astros in game 4. And the station will be out there all day long. In the loop and Clint Sterner in the show, both at Kirby Ice House. It's the one between Richmond and Alabama on a side street called East Side. There's 2 Kirby Ice Houses. It's not the one out Beltway, you know, out that way, west side of town. It's the one in Upper Kirby about 2 minutes from the station here. All right, let's talk about the Astros. So each team got an extra day here because of Mother Nature. Which team gets the advantage from having the extra day? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.